Thousands of children are killed annually by speeding automobiles. A plan has now been revealed which will entirely eliminate the possibility of another hit-and-run automobile casualty. In a moment, you'll hear how and when this amazing plan will be implemented. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. If you were to stop the first 10 people you meet on the street and ask them, "Do you know where heaven is?" you'd probably discover that they know very little about it and maybe nothing at all. Most of them would probably say, "Well, I know that it's up, and that's about it." Now, there's no good reason for such ignorance about heaven, friends. The Bible tells us many things concerning this wonderful subject. Today we plan to find out where heaven is and what it's like. When the Apostle Paul described his experience of being taken to heaven in vision, he said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, such a man caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise." 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4. Now Paul was actually taken to that third heaven, or paradise as he called it, and therefore there must be three heavens in all. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, right up above the earth where the birds fly and the airplanes travel and the clouds float. The second heaven is the starry heaven that David speaks about in Psalms 19:1 when he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And then that third heaven is referred to in the Bible as the heaven of heavens. This is the place where God's throne is located. It's the paradise of God. And in this beautiful paradise where God's throne is located, we're told in Revelation 22, 1 and 2, that there's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, some say that the Lord Jesus is coming to take the redeemed to this wonderful place to live for all eternity, and that's true, friends, it is. In Revelation 1:7, we read these words, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." And then, of course, Matthew 24:30 says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Yes, all true Christians are looking for that event. Jesus promised to come again. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So Christ is now getting those mansions ready. He's preparing that beautiful city so that we can have a place in his kingdom. Someday the heavens will split wide open, and a countless host of angels will descend with God and Jesus Christ in the very center of them. They'll come in a magnificent demonstration of power and glory to gather the redeemed. Won't it be a marvelous experience, friends, to be caught up with the angels and chariots of fire, to meet Jesus in the air, and to take that trip back to the holy city, passing through the Milky Way system with its millions of blazing suns on all sides? Oh, listen, the passageway to paradise will seem diamond-studded. Beautiful colors like the rainbow, no doubt, will shine all around us. In Revelation, the 21st and 22nd chapters, we have an actual description of heaven. If you want sweet dreams tonight, friends, read those chapters before you go to bed. I'll just read a little bit here. "There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Oh, friends, isn't that a wonderful sight? Walls clear as crystal, it says. Streets of transparent gold. The city sparkles with light like some precious stone. The outflashing splendor of God's glory shines through those walls. And then again we read, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare. And the length is as large as a breadth, and he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. So there it is, friends. The city had 12 huge, magnificent gates, each one made of a solid pearl. And then there are three gates on every side of those walls. The city lies four square, and the circumference of it is 12,000 furlongs. Now listen, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile. And dividing 12,000 by 8, we discover that that city is 1,500 miles in circumference. And this makes it 375 miles on each side. Now, to get some idea of the enormity of this city, let's consider some of the cities of our present world. There's New York City, for example, with its teeming millions. And on the map, it appears to be just a small spot. But if the New Jerusalem were located where the city of New York is, it would not just be a small spot on the map, but it would cover more than the entire state of New York. The city of London is just a wide spot in the road in comparison to this great holy city. Why, friends, this tremendous city dwarfs anything we've ever seen in this world. There's nothing like it here. There are no homes on this earth that compare with the mansions of heaven. We may look yearningly at those beautiful estates of the wealthy here on this earth, but let's not forget there are more beautiful estates waiting for us in heaven than we can possibly see here if we're just faithful to Jesus. The wayfaring pilgrims that trudge through this world can't even imagine the magnificence and the marvelous sights that await the eyes of those who are saved. As we journey to this city, we'll suddenly see its rainbow glory and color way off in the distance. For the 12 foundations are made out of those 12 beautiful, priceless stones of different colors. God has unlimited resources of precious jewels. I can just imagine as the saints come in view of that city, they're going to cry out, "Look, look, there it is, the beautiful city of God. We're home at last." Oh yes, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." There will be flowers and trees of all colors of the deepest hue and all in perfect symmetry. The flowers will never fade there. As we walk along the streets of transparent gold, they'll shine like mirrors, no doubt. The reflection of the mansions and the beautiful flowers and trees will make us feel like we're just floating in the air in some wonderland of beauty. I want to make it clear that there'll be no cigarette butts or tobacco juice spit on those sidewalks either, friends. There'll be no drunkards lying along in the gutters. There'll be no beer parlors or taverns. No brothels or cheap show places along the streets of gold in the city of God. There'll be no need for the sun to shine there either. For we're told the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Revelation 21, 23 and 24. The light there will be a brilliant but soft light. It'll never hurt our eyes. It'll be pleasing and restful. And the greatest joy of all will be the privilege of living the presence of our Savior. In Revelation 22:3 it says, "And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Oh, friends, our fear of calamities and catastrophes will be forever ended. In Isaiah 60:18 we read, "Violence shall be no more heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise." Oh no, we'll not fear wars, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, floods, bombs. In fact, then we'll not even know what fear is anymore. Animosities and hatreds will be gone. There'll be no violence in God's city. Will there be children in heaven? Of course. In Isaiah 11:6 it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Yes, there'll be children in heaven, and that'll make heaven a happy place. We would miss the joyful laughter of children. And they'll have pets there. The magnificent lion, the king of beasts, will be a beautiful pet. The sleek leopard will be will purr like a kitten. These creatures are all bloodthirsty now, but they'll be as tame as a lamb there. The instinct to kill will be gone. And friends, parents will never need to fear that speeding automobiles, which we're so often fearful about here, will ever hit or injure our children in the streets. The hit-and-run driver of this world will be totally unknown in the city of God. There'll be nothing to hurt or destroy in that beautiful space city of the future. Will children grow up in heaven? We read in Malachi 4:2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall." Why, yes, our children are going to grow up there. They'll not be dwarves forever. They'll grow. In fact, we're told that the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. And it seems that we'll all probably grow up. On the resurrection day, those who have lived back in ancient times will be great giants in comparison to the present generation in our world. Men like Adam and Seth and Noah and others will surely tower above us like giants. You see, mankind has degenerated through the ages and has become stunted in growth because of sin. But in heaven, the effects of sin, the curse of sin, will be removed, and we'll all grow up to our full stature. Some people are concerned about what they're going to look like in heaven. The ladies are usually interested in their appearance and spend quite a bit of time in front of the mirror. But don't smile at that now. There are some men who spend just as much time there. But you don't need to wonder anymore, friends. What you'll look like in heaven is found in Philippians 3:20 and 21. It tells us that we're going to look like Jesus. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, isn't that thrilling to know that we're going to look like Jesus? When we reach heaven, wherever we may travel throughout the universe of God, through those unnumbered worlds, we'll be recognized by the inhabitants of those worlds as the redeemed of this earth, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, because we'll look like him. Perhaps they'll say when they see us, "There's some of those people who were redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. Can't you see why they look like Jesus?" Some people wonder if we'll recognize our loved ones in heaven. Listen, in the next broadcast, we're going to continue with this subject, friends, and we'll read some very plain statements in the Bible about how you'll know your loved ones there. So don't fail to tune in as we continue to study into this tremendous, beautiful subject of heaven and how to get there. Of course, that's the most important point of all, is how to get there. And, of course, that comes by faith in Jesus. He will save us by his grace if we just ask him to forgive our sins. You see, sin is the only thing that'll never go to heaven. And we only receive forgiveness through faith in Jesus. Well, multitudes of people, of course, think of heaven as some dreamy, mystical place where nothing is actually real. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.